We know that there are objective truths in the world. There are things that just are. Black is black, wet is wet. There are things that are the truth, that are the reality. And then there are subjective, relative truths. There are things that are true to me, but not necessarily to other people. So there are things, there are my personal tastes, there are my interests, things that speak to me, things that I feel are right, decisions I make in life. These are relative truths. The Chet of Adam Arishon blurred the distinction between the two. Before the sin, Adam's mind was able to decipher, was able to distill what is my relative truth, what is my subjective mind at work, and what is the objective mind at work. So able to tell what is an objective truth. And this is extremely significant when it comes to a person figuring out what they're doing in life, decisions that need to be made. Are the decisions coming from a place of objectivity or subjectivity? Let's say in the moral realm. Do I decide that something is moral and correct and virtuous to do because that is the objective truth? Or is it because of some type of relative truth, some type of subjective interest in making this decision? Secularism absolutely rejects all objectivity in truth. And this manifests itself in two distinct ways. Modern philosophy doesn't necessarily reject that there is an absolute truth, although most modern philosophers would argue that that absolute truth isn't a product of God. But they don't necessarily reject that there is an absolute truth, but they question if we have the ability to perceive it. All of our knowledge, they'll argue, is acquired empirically via the senses and through experience, and everything is therefore perceived via the subjective human prism that through which we experience and sense and observe the world around us. So all of our knowledge is automatically subject to my own unique human perspective and my individual perspective. And our perceptions are also always influenced by our prior knowledge, our prior experiences, and not based on the objective true nature of anything. So basically, modern philosophy would argue that we are simply unable to perceive things as they objectively are, because everything is seen through my own subjective prism. That would be one manifestation of secularism's rejection of the objectivity of that there is objective truth, or our ability at least to perceive truth. The other argument, the other manifestation of secularism, is denying that there's objective truth at all. And certainly our modern day culture rejects that there is an absolute truth. There is nothing out there that's true or false. There are no life decisions that are either correct or incorrect. Every person, live and let live, everyone has the right to make their own decisions, and there's no such thing as one person's decision is right and one person's decision is wrong. This is a very modern way of looking at things. And in a sense, it's a rejection of the entire concept of objective truth. And I think Judaism rejects really both of these propositions, at least to a degree. And let's begin with the second one. We certainly believe that there is an absolute truth. That is the message of Torah. Torah is there. It is the call of absolute truth. It is what teaches man objective truth. And we believe there is an absolute and objective truth. That is for sure. And we believe that it is our earthly mission, thanks to the divinely given intellect that we have, to attempt to perceive the reality as it is, at least to the best of our ability. And this, I think, is where we part ways with the first manifestation of secularism. The argument of modern philosophy that we are unable as humans to perceive objective truth. So I think that we argue that at least to a degree, not only can we, but we must. That's our mission. The Rambam writes in the Hakdama to the Perashah Mishnayos that man's mission is L'tzayir b'sichlo, amitos hadvarim al pi ma shehem olav. That a person has a responsibility to use his mind to clarify, to perceive, to understand the truth as it is to the best that he can. Ulahasik kol ma she'efshar la'adam lahasik. To understand as best as he can the objective truth of reality. And this is certainly a challenge for man. It is not easy to remove subjectivity when you're trying to analyze something. The sin of the Cheta Adam Arishon rehardwired us that we just can't naturally operate independent of our passions and our thoughts and our experiences, prior experiences, and our perceptions are always influenced by relative values and subjective perspectives. And that clouds the emes. But unlike modern philosophy that therefore throws up its hands and says, therefore we need a different method of determining what's moral and what's virtuous because we can't perceive the objective truth, we are challenged to, despite the fact that we have subjectivity, and the Rambam in Shmona Parakim, he counts as one of the parts of man's soul structure. One of the five parts is the Koach HaMedameh. We don't deny that we have this imaginative faculty that disconnects us with the objective truth. But we are commanded to nonetheless seek out the objective truth to the best of our ability. So how do we do that? How does one perceive the objective truth? How does one train their mind to perceive the reality as it is? Which, in a sense, brings us back to the pre-sin state of Adam HaRishon. How do we do that? So number one is Torah. That is why the study of Torah is paramount in Judaism. Torah teaches the absolute truth. It's true in the moral realm. It's true in the philosophic realm. And as we all know from modern culture, these are areas where relativism, when it goes, when it runs wild, so it can produce all different types of conclusions of people feeling that killing older people is doing them a favor, and abortion and many other types of behavior that, in many contexts, right? Abortion is a complicated topic in halacha. We're not making a sweeping statement about all abortion, but there are many areas like euthanasia, like abortion, where modern culture comes up, whether it's homosexuality, all these issues, all of the hot issues today. So what's determining them is a belief that there's no objective truth and that man's moral relativism today has come to a conclusion. And the Torah comes to teach us that there is an absolute truth. And that's why we study Torah. And even though the truth of Torah is hard to acquire and it requires a lifetime of dedication, but that is what we are trying to achieve. That's what we're trying to study when we sit to study Torah. We're trying to learn Torah, but learning Torah means we're trying to uncover the objective truth. This perhaps could also be argued, this is a major force behind the idea of mitzvos, that mitzvos are there to curb our passions, our desires. This is the Ramban writes by the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, that the mitzvos are not for Hashem. He doesn't need us to eat kosher. He doesn't need us to light a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're for us. They instill in us chesed. They remove false ideologies. By doing the mitzvos, a person is training himself. He's conditioning himself, and he is removing the impurities through the mitzvos, the impurities of his own mind and of his own soul. And by doing that, we are removing the influences that, the negative influences that prevent us from perceiving the truth. When a person doesn't have control, let's say as an example, if a person doesn't have a control over his eating, and he stuffs everything in his mouth all the time, so a person becomes addicted to food, it becomes addicted to physicality, and that affects the way that he sees things in the world. He's not able to make a fair, objective assessment of things because he's already so drawn after the physical. If a person is addicted to physical behavior with the opposite gender, so they're not able to make clear, objective decisions. We see this all the time, unfortunately, in the news, where people make tremendous errors, affairs, and the like, because they're not in control of their passion, and therefore they're not able to perceive what is just, what is moral, what is objectively good, and what is not objectively good. So the mitzvos are there. That's what the Ramban writes there in Shiluach HaKein, that it's the mitzvos are there. Letzaref et ha'adam. He's quoting from the Medrash Rabbah. They're there to purify a person. And unlike those who argue, well, what's the connection between what I do and what I think? But we know that there's a tremendous connection. There's a very strong, really inextricable link between them. And the more a person is controlled by his passions and his emotions and his desires, he's not able to make objectively fit decisions, and his perspectives are not clear. This is also why moral development is so important. Meaning mitzvos help us curb our passions and our desires, but moral development is such a necessary prerequisite to religious growth, and the Rambam writes that to philosophic perfection. Why does the Rambam write that moral development is a prerequisite to philosophic perfection and growth? And that's because a person cannot see the truth and ignore the confusion that the subjective mind creates if we're arrogant, if we're self-centered. So what does this mean? It means that there's certainly an independent value to being moral, but there's also a meta value, which is that it prepares us to be able to elevate our minds to that level of seeing the objective truth. And last is disconnecting from taiva, which again, these are all related to each other, but the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim in a bunch of places that in order for a person to rise to high intellectual levels, he has to stop thinking and desiring animalistic pursuits. Food, drink, sexual activity. He has to look at these things as necessities and not as being the focus of his life and what he's chasing after. Because a person who is not free of his passion, so he'll always seek philosophies or perspectives that will lead him on a path to the physical and not necessarily towards the truth. He will make decisions in life that will lead him towards more fulfillment of his passions and his desires. And he won't be guided by what's true, but he'll be guided by what will bring him those things that he desires. And that is a clear example of the subjective, relative thinking of a person influencing him. But at the same time, as much as we try to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, we also realize that as humans, we will often fail. And that's why having a tradition, having a Mesorah, is so important. Because to be able to attempt to perceive the truth without any tradition to base ourselves upon, many, many people will fail. And even those who do succeed, they don't ever come to absolute, clear, objective truth. So we have to try as best as we can. And this is why the role of humility is so important. We have to always be willing to admit that there are things that are beyond our understanding. This is what the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, when he's discussing the famous question of foreknowledge and free will. How do those two things coexist? So the Rambam, much to the Raivid's dislike and criticism, but the Rambam says, nope, I have clarified here an area of thought, that of theology, that I cannot understand. And that's not a problem. It's important to have that realization. The Chovas Levavos does the same thing. If you look in Shara Yichud, in the third parak of Shara Yichud, that's where he speaks glowingly about the human mind and the need to try to understand Hashem and how it's an absolute chiyuv to use your intellectual inquiry to try to understand Hashem. And yet, in the fourth chapter, right afterwards, he says, but there's also a point that you reach, and at that point you say, I can't go any further. I can't understand more than this. And this is our constant struggle in life, that we are always chasing something that we know we will never fully achieve. It's a goal that we will never fully achieve, and yet we don't back away from the challenge. We attempt as best as we can to understand Hashem and to use our mind and to understand the objective truth of the reality of the world, and we know that there is an objective truth, and at the same time we have that humility to realize that as much as we're going to try, and we're going to look to the Torah for direction, and we're going to involve ourselves in mitzvos, and we're going to work on moral development and try to distance taiva, because we realize that all of those things give us greater perception, and it's so important to realize that. If a person's walking down the road and there's something he shouldn't look at, or there's something he shouldn't talk about, if he's engaged in a conversation with someone, he has to realize that it's not only that those things are sinful. to realize that every time he looks, every time he speaks, every time he eats something that he shouldn't be eating. So he has to realize that that also dulls his ability to see the truth. And as he develops and he grows, so he'll hopefully his perception of the objective truth will be stronger, and it will allow him to live the life that Hashem envisions for us.